Hey, welcome to the Rom-Com Podcast. This week we watched Fargo. Fargo is a reality-based crime drama set in Minnesota in 1987. Jerry Lundegaard, played by William H. Macy, is a car salesman in Minneapolis who has gotten himself into debt and is so desperate for money that he hires two thugs, Steve Buscemi and Peter Stormare, to kidnap his own wife. Jerry will collect the ransom from her wealthy father, paying the thugs a small portion and keeping the rest to satisfy his debts. The scheme collapses when the thugs shoot a state trooper. Also, make sure to follow us on Letterboxd at Rom-Com Podcast to see what we've watched and what we're going to watch next.
Okay, cool. All right, I'm good to start.
Cool.
Hello?
Hello.
Yo.
Hello.
What's up, guys?
So I've been just applying for jobs like nobody's business because like right now the best Lee can give me is pretty much 2 days a week just because they don't have the van and stuff. So I mean, like, I've made a resume, I've made all these accounts on different websites, just hitting apply to everything. So I'm like, I got a call today. They were like, hey, we got your application. You can come in for an interview tomorrow. And I like don't know what it's for because I applied to so many things. But I looked it up and in the description for the job, it was like a few things that might happen on the interview. And it was like a forklift training, like a forklift test. I didn't put anywhere that I knew how to drive a forklift.
So did you figure out what place it was for?
I'd be in a warehouse in Winston-Salem making sure packages are going to the right place.
Is that a 45-minute drive from Greensboro?
I don't know. I really don't know. But
I was talking to Christian yesterday because, of course, every time he does anything for one of my friends, he has to call me and tell me. Mm-hmm. And he called me. He was like, yeah, I'm trying to help Bailey out with the job. And he said usually when, like, someone applies there and they have, like, a recommendation, they get, like, a call back within the week. So
I hope so. Because, yeah. I mean, that would be great. I mean, it'd be terribly boring, but pretty much everywhere else I've applied to, like, I'm going, y'all know where that Biltmore hotel is downtown, right beside like the carport. I talked to that guy and he was like,
when were we walking in to get free coffee?
No, that was the Marriott. This one's like a little small, like, it's a really cool little hotel.
It's really actually sick. Yeah. I heard it was haunted.
It looks like it. But the guy told me if I wanted to, I could come in tomorrow and just talk with them because I just applied to a few other hotels just for like a plan B because I've already worked at one and I did everything there. So
yeah,
I'll have that. But it's like, dude, all these, really the bulk of it was just like FedEx and shit. And it's honestly scary because when you apply to places like that, like FedEx and UPS, they make you watch during the application process, they make you watch these like explanation videos and it just sounds terrifying. Like the application process, it's like ask you over and over again, do you have any problem stretching your body? Do you have any problem lifting things for like 8 hours? Do you have any problem working in the heat? And I'm just like, dude, this is a sweatshop.
Ephraim worked for, I think it was FedEx last summer. Dude, he had some bad hours.
It sounds, dude, like, fuck the hours. It sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, dude. No, I would just wait for the Bank of America thing because I feel like that's probably going to happen. And like for $20 an hour and stand in AC, it's not that bad.
Oh, yeah, no. And I mean, you know, there's no
in AC, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
And I don't need, you know, it's Monday through Friday, but it's not like I'm really doing anything.
Yeah,
like music isn't really gonna be a real thing for a while. So
$20 an hour too.
Yeah,
yeah.
And you get off of what, like five?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, dude.
I hope that works out.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
But I'm just gonna go to the two things tomorrow just in case. And
yeah, might as well.
If it works out, I'll be like,
I was talking to Christian, and I was like, if it works out for you, I might apply, and then we can tell together, dude.
Dude, I don't know, like, why not? Like,
I know.
He told me that the job I applied for, if I got hired, I'd be doing some like telling. And then he said I'd be doing that half. And then the other half would be like in an office like him, just talking to people, which would kind of be weird. But
taking financial advice from someone like 10 years younger than everyone who walks in there.
I'm sorry that we're going to have to foreclose on your house, just crying profusely. I was like, I think I'm not going to do this job anymore.
No, you're going to be like that dude in Yes Man who just gives them loans for like everything.
But I just like, I don't know. I think I told you I got the apartment. So I'm moving in on the 7th.
Nice.
And, so I'm just a little bit. I'm in a little bit of a rat race right now because at the same time I got it, I figured out that I really don't have much of a job. So
Well, you got money saved up though.
Yeah, I do. I've got like 7 worst months of rent, but it's like I don't, you know, that would be fine. But then again, that would be wasting a lot of money. So
yeah, but at least you know that worst case scenario, you have 7 months figured out.
Oh yeah, I mean that's what's keeping me sane for sure. Mm-hmm. But it'd be nice to. That, I really hope the bank thing works out because I mean that would just be pretty big money for me right now.
I think it will.
So
yeah, and like the way to move up in those jobs is so like quick.
That's
like,
what I've heard. Another thing is so. While I was applying for all these places, it really hit me. Like, it really hit me how important it actually and beneficial it is to know Spanish. And it got me thinking, like, dude, I'm going to, like make an effort, like, download an app, maybe get, like, an online thing and try to, like, refresh. To try to refresh myself, dude, because you go through these application processes and it's, like, everyone, it's, like, do you know Spanish? And you know all the people who press are like, bilingual. They have so much of a better chance.
Yeah, I mean, that's how my brother got paid more off the start, because he speaks, like, fluent Spanish.
Really?
Yeah. But, like, I feel like, fluent. Like, it's crazy. I mean, you went to, like, that Spanish immersion school, so I feel like if you, like just refreshed yourself, you would remember, like, a lot more than you think you
did. Well, that's what I talked to Christian about it, and I feel like it's pretty – because I was telling him when I watched Narcos as much as I did – it was like starting to come back to me, and I really feel like it's all in like sort of the back of my head. I just need to actually use it.
Yeah. Just go find Pablo Escobar and like have a conversation.
Yeah.
That'd be a good way to refresh yourself though. Just kind of watch some Spanish TV.
Pedro said when Pedro moved here, he learned English from just watching SpongeBob with Spanish subtitles.
That's how a lot of people learn English.
But
I say you go no subtitles and just go for it. Yeah. They're just talking. You're like, oh, okay. So something about.
He pointed to the pencil when he said that.
Somebody talking about getting shot. All right. I got it.
I guess bop, bop, bop means bop, bop, bop in English.
Nice. Good one, dude.
I'm back.
Yo. Hey, you laughed.
Kim made a really good joke while you were gone.
Really?
He said, I guess bop, bop, bop means bop, bop, bop in Spanish.
He was talking about gunshots.
Oh.
That was really good.
Had to be there.
Yeah, it was so good when you were here.
Welcome to Rom-Com.
Hey.
Welcome. Hey.
I'm Ethan.
I actually really like this movie.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah, it was sick. The only thing I can't stand about it is that Minnesota accent, man.
I think it like really adds to this movie though. Like because I don't think they could have those conversations in any other accent. Like when they're talking on the phone.
Darn.
Yeah, like when they're talking on the phone, like in the beginning when Jerry's wife is talking on the phone, she's like, oh, yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. And like then hands the phone over to him, but she's like reassuring so many times.
Dude,
and I don't
think you could do that. Biggest accent in that movie.
I know. And I don't think you could do that in like any other like accent.
Yeah, it was pretty prominent. But I mean, I just noticed it and then I sort of stopped realizing it. Mm-hmm. But I felt like I really didn't get because I didn't really get what the movie was until like the end.
Yeah.
And then it actually hit me like, and I read about it a little bit and I was like, oh, it's just like they were sort of taking a really serious situation and making it like lighthearted or whatever, which I thought was cool.
And I think like the accent really adds to the comedy of it too. It like makes it a lot easier for the jokes to fly when you're talking like that, you know?
Oh yeah. Off the bat, the setting of that movie was sick.
Yeah, it was really
cool. Like the snow and everything.
I was reading some stuff about that movie today, and I saw that they shot the movie in Minnesota, and the Coen brothers are from Minnesota, and they had this whole script planned out, this whole scene of like a bunch of snow, like the 10-foot snows they get in Minnesota in the winter. And then when they went to shoot it, it was the second hottest summer in Minnesota in 100 years.
Really?
So like, so it was like really hard for them to find snow.
Oh, wow.
It was like the most like random thing that could have happened. So I was seeing like, you know, that scene towards the beginning at night when he shoots the cop.
Yeah.
That scene. And then the scene in the morning where the, police come to like check out the scene.
Uh-huh.
Those are two completely different places because they had to come and like find snow in the morning.
See, that's amazes me about like the idea that, you know, like they could shoot Jurassic Park in the woods of North Carolina, but make it feel like it was somewhere, you know what I mean? Or whatever. Like, it's really interesting about that. Or the whole idea that's like, if you just have one room to shoot in and there's a couch on one end and a TV on the other, you can make the couch scene look like you're in a different place. And when you 180 the camera, it's like, oh, the audience feels like this, we're somewhere else now.
Yeah.
That's really interesting, actually.
Yeah. And then there was another scene when they're in that parking lot, you know, that overhead shot of that parking lot with the car. What's the cop's name? The girl, I can't remember already.
Marge.
Yeah. Yep. When she's driving through that parking lot, they had to go in and fill that whole parking lot with shaved ice that they made from like a wood chipper.
Oh my God.
And you can look in the back and see that they're like, there's not snow on like 10 feet away from the scene because it took them like all night to put all that there. And they only shot it once because it was going to take too much time to fill in those tire tracks.
Dang.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Did you know that this actually isn't based on a true story?
Yeah, I saw that.
That's
one part. Was that like adding to like the joke of it? Or
it's loosely, very, very loosely based on real events. There was, I think I looked it up, and like one event was some dude messing around with numbers at some car shop, kind of like he was doing in the movie. And then there was one with someone putting someone in a wood chipper, but those were like the only two things that like they somewhat they basically just like added those parts in. Like it wasn't actually based on those because it didn't go into detail about anything.
I saw something that said they were trying to like play with the thing that was going on a lot around that time of movies, just saying this is based on a true story, but it's just because like a quarter of what's happened in the movie happened. So they just took like, they found something that actually happened and they're like, this is 100% a true story.
Yeah.
And it just like makes you realize that anyone can say that.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, just take those movies with like a grain of salt. Like when The Conjuring came out and everyone was like, this is a true story, dude. I'm like, this is not all of it.
I remember being young and always seeing that though and thinking, wow, this is actually exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like it would be sick, but
I know.
I wonder would be like the truest movie to the story. I have to think about that.
I don't know.
You know what I realized though?
Hmm.
Steve Buscemi
has
A+ in my book, dude. I don't think I've ever seen him in anything bad.
Yeah, he's awesome.
I really don't think I have.
He was in The Sopranos, which I like watched a lot of today after I watched Fargo. And I saw him and I was like, dude, how many times is this guy going to pop up in my life today?
He's in another reason why I want to watch Reservoir Dogs.
Great movie.
He's in Jurassic Park, right? Isn't Steve Buscemi in that, or am I completely wrong?
Dude, so wrong.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, Steve Buscemi in Jurassic Park would not be good for kids.
Yeah, true. He would be terrifying.
Have you ever seen Con Air with Nicolas Cage?
No.
No.
Okay, he's in that. He plays a really creepy dude, but he like it's awesome.
Oh, he's in Pulp Fiction.
You were thinking of Jeff Goldblum, Ethan.
Oh yeah.
He's sick.
Jeff Goldblum is like the cooler version of Steve Buscemi. Yeah, <basically. laughs>
So on the topic of the setting, like instantly caught my eye. I thought it was sick. Something about snow in movies like that, that white backdrop it gives so many scenes is awesome to me. And I looked it up and the director of photography is actually Roger Deakins. I don't know a lot about him, but I've heard his name, a lot.
Yeah.
He did like Skyfall. He did a bunch of movies, but I feel like I always hear when I'm watching director videos or DP videos, they're always talking about like Roger Deakins being at like the top of all those guys. And it definitely showed in this movie. I thought it was really pretty.
Yeah, it was real. But what I liked about it is like, it was really pretty, but also so simple and kind of bland, but in a good way. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like purposefully bland.
Yeah, well, when you brought up the shot in the parking lot, were you talking about the one, because we might have been thinking about two different scenes. What I'm thinking of is that overhead shot of that white blanket snow ground, and there's just a car parked in it, and there's a lot of trees planted around the place.
Yeah, that's not the one I was talking about, but that one was really cool. And when I was looking at that in the beginning, I thought for like 10 minutes before Jerry started walking into the frame, I thought that was like a drawing or something of like what they were going to do, because it looks so perfect that it looks like a painting, you know?
Yeah. That was probably my favorite shot of the movie. I'll pull it up, in post for anybody on YouTube watching, but I mean,
yeah, that was a really cool shot.
It was great. Like there was just something about it.
And I really, really liked Marge's character in this movie.
Okay.
She was really cool.
I liked it, but I'm going to be honest. Like, I really did think it was a great movie, but once I got done with it, I started looking up the contenders for the Oscars for that year. Mm-hmm. And because it was like, I thought the movie was great. I thought everybody acted great, but I didn't really catch like the Oscar in it, in the sense of like, I don't know, I feel like she sort of showed up halfway through the movie and had like a very simple role, you know? Like, I watched that, I didn't see anything that she did that I was like, dude, this is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, that's the kind of the cool thing about this movie though, is it's not like a traditional Oscar movie, but it's because it's so simple and so like so harshly mundane, you know what I mean? That like to make it worth watching is kind of a feat in itself. And the fact that this movie is good with how like boring all the characters are, you know, I think is really cool. And I think she might have gotten the Oscar because of how well she plays that like kind of naive, snarky, but still like really polite Minnesota cop, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. The competitors for that are movies that I've honestly never heard of. It was Brenda Blethyn in Secrets and Lies, Diane Keaton in Marvin's Room, Kristen Scott Thomas in The English Patient, and Emily Watson in Breaking the Waves.
Yeah, so it didn't seem like that hard of a year to win.
But like, that's what I'm saying. It's not bad, but I thought I was like,
yeah.
Like, okay, when I watched Django, the scenes with Leonardo DiCaprio, it's like, oh, dude, give it to him. I don't know how he didn't get it, but
yeah,
you know what I mean? But I'm definitely not saying that she didn't deserve it. I thought it was great. I just, you know, maybe I was looking at it through the wrong lens, or, you know.
What all were the other contenders?
Well, those were just the actresses in a leading role. What was that movie? 97, was it, right?
I think so, yeah.
And yeah, 1997, yeah.
They got nominated for Best Picture. They didn't win, but they won Best Screenplay, I think.
Yeah, Best Original Screenplay, Coen Brothers won, which I honestly completely agree with. I haven't seen
the screenplay other movies, is fantastic.
But yeah, for that to be an original, it was I did not get bored a single time.
Yeah, and I think that's the best part about the movie, especially with the characters.
Mm-hmm.
They really made like these really unique characters that I've never seen, and it felt like you know, sometimes when you watch a movie and it feels like those characters were just made right in front of you.
Yeah.
This movie felt like we were just placed into these characters' lives and they mm-hmm. have like a whole backstory. And I think that's because they don't like tell us everything about them.
Yeah.
Which I really like, because then it leaves you wondering about these people instead of like, oh, okay, I know everything about this person up to this point. Now I can focus on them. Like, we never know why Jerry needs the money. We never yeah. know like who Steve Buscemi's character is, you know?
Yeah. I didn't even think about that. He never did tell why he needed the money.
Mm-hmm. We barely know Marge is pregnant, you know, like we learn that she's pregnant, yeah. but we don't know how far along she is. And I think they say like 2 months at the very end, but you know,
they do, yeah.
Yeah. But we don't know like if she's more than just like a regular deputy that got assigned this case, you know, we don't know her like full mm-hmm. position. We don't know much about like her husband.
When she goes on the date, that weird mm-hmm. interaction with that Asian dude.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he calls her like deputy chief or something.
Oh, okay.
Like he basically says her title. I just can't remember it.
Yeah.
That's very true though. You get dropped in it in the first minute and then it's just a linear story for the next yeah. hour and a half. And
I like how, yeah, I like how it doesn't, they don't just kind of like go on like a, like catch you up rant. Like,
yeah, exactly.
One time in Nam when we escaped this, like yeah. just something like so random like that, like everything, like, the information that you get comes out like how it naturally yeah. in real life. Yeah.
And that, sorry yeah. to cut you off, but yeah. That scene, one of the first scenes when they're sitting down with Jerry and Steve Buscemi's character and that other guy, like they're all sitting there and that's the perfect time for Jerry to explain why he needs the money, but he doesn't. Cause like, it's none of their business and it's none yeah. of our business. Cause it has nothing to do with the movie. Yeah. You know,
it makes
the opening scene just set. I'm sorry, awesome. Bailey. I'm, oh, no, but it just totally set the whole tone for the movie. Because yeah. as soon as they say that the times got messed up, you know it's not going to go right.
Yeah, it's really
as soon as like they said their middle guy was like told one of them 7:30 and the other 8:30. You can tell it's not going to be a professional thing, and mm-hmm. just everything's going to get messed up.
Yeah, yeah, that set like the satirical atmosphere in the sense of like, if it wasn't so linear, and if they would have, you know, sat down at the table and he starts explaining all this and then it cuts back to 2 years before, that's like the perfect yeah. remedy for, oh, this is going to be a serious movie. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But without yeah. that, I think it gives a much more wide path to have the feeling of the movie that it had. It's just like, yeah. this is what it is. And it's kind of goofy, but it's sick at the same time, sort of.
Yeah. And I don't think, but that's what I'm saying, is because I don't think that scene would have been as like satirical mm-hmm. without that accent. Because if it wasn't for that accent that Jerry has, it would have just been him like, oh yeah, sorry, like we got mixed up. But he's like, oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay. And you're watching it, you're yeah, like, you wow, betcha. How ridiculous is this?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. One thing I noticed towards the end, honestly, the very end, when Marge is laying down with her husband, and you know, throughout, I guess you don't really meet that the husband character until like halfway through, but you sort of vaguely get the idea that he's a painter and he's in this painting competition or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then after Marge has seen all these things happen, when she lays down in the bed, they talk about like how the painting competition went.
Oh yeah, I know.
They didn't say like it, like she just saw somebody get shredded in a wood chipper. Yeah. It yeah. was like, hey, how'd you do on your like bird painting?
Yeah. And like she just got a call in the middle of the night, that scene for like a triple homicide, and he's like, I'll make you some eggs.
Yeah.
And they sit down and have a whole breakfast and then go investigate like a state trooper murder and another double homicide.
Yeah.
Yeah. So did that one Russian dude kill the wife?
I don't know. Oh, I don't yeah. think so.
I think that's the only thing it doesn't really completely.
Yeah, she answer. Was just on the floor when Steve's character gets back.
And then it's never mentioned after that.
Yeah, I think she just like fainted at that scene, but yeah, but that's the cool thing about this movie, is like we don't get the answers that we're looking for. We get answers like how his painting competition went, you know?
Like, I mean, that's the one answer that I like wish was in there though. Like,
yeah.
I don't like I knew that Steve Buscemi was going to die. Like once mm-hmm. he started acting like a dick to the dude and thinking that he was all high and mighty because he killed a few people.
Yeah.
Like he, like when he, like he was like yelling about the car because the dude mm-hmm. said we split the car or whatever. And mm-hmm. He didn't want to, he wanted to take it. So he yeah. pushes aside so the dude could see his gun, starts acting like he's the leader or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you knew from that moment, like as soon as he walks out, like something's going to happen to him. Like yeah. this Russian dude's going to explode.
I don't think that he killed her because the cop came, but then again, she wasn't in the cop car. So,
well, yeah, that's what yeah. I'm saying. Like it just doesn't answer it.
Yeah. Unless they untied her and they're like, go home. But the cool thing is,
do that.
Yeah, but they like she's tied up, you know, like the cop could untie her and be like, get out of here.
But they wouldn't. But that's the thing. They wouldn't just yeah. be like, oh, you're free to go home.
I watched a video after I watched the movie. And do y'all remember the last scene when after Marge has arrested the I forgot how he said it in the movie, but Steve Buscemi's partner, when she's driving him in the cop car down the road mm-hmm. and that shot, she pulls over for the ambulances to pass and stuff.
Yeah.
Some people say that is the wife in the ambulance.
Oh.
But I guess that
would
be.
I think those were coming though, because I just looked it up. I just Googled what happened to the kidnapped wife in Fargo, and it says the like Google thing that pops up is several days later, Gene has a breakdown and begins shrieking loudly. This annoys Grimsrud, whoever that Russian dude was.
Yeah.
He was watching a soap opera and so he brutally beats her to death.
Oh,
nice.
Nice.
So I guess she is dead.
One good thing about that ending shot is when she pulls over for the ambulances, the shot of the ambulances was pretty much a mirror shot of the first scene when Jerry is towing the Cadillac or whatever the car was in the snow, and it was cool. It was And speaking of that,
I also like how we don't know anything that happened to Jerry. Like we saw him get pulled out of that window in the hotel room or whatever, but like we don't know what happened to him. We don't know what happened to that kid. We don't know if like the Russian dude spilled everything, but I guess he's already like an accomplice because he gave them the car and then ran from the cop. So I guess they don't need much.
Did y'all catch all the, those repetitive shots of the Paul Bunyan statue?
Yeah.
And then Steve Buscemi's character dies by like the axe that looks exactly like that.
Yeah. And when they drive by in that last scene, the Russian dude like looks up at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, that was one of my more liked parts of that movie, just the foreshadowing and the those repetitive shots I thought were really cool.
Yeah. Have you guys seen any other Coen Brothers movies?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they did. Well, let me look this up before I say anything.
I know they did No Country for Old Men.
I've seen that.
Yeah, which is great. And kind of like around the same concept too. Like a really good like detective goes and tries to like find this guy for murder, you know. Yeah. It's a lot more serious than this one, but still has like the same kind of feeling.
Yeah, I after I watched this, I was looking up John Goodman movies and I didn't know that they did Raising Arizona.
They did The Big Lebowski.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. I looked up Coen Brothers.
Here. I still haven't seen that.
Here, hold on.
Me neither.
They also did. Have you guys seen O Brother Where Art Thou?
No, that's
a really good movie. It's a great movie.
So we got The Big Lebowski, No Country for Old Men, which that is a great movie.
That's such a good movie.
O Brother Where Art Thou's great. George Clooney's so good in that movie.
True Grit.
Mm-hmm. Burn After Reading.
Oh, that's a good movie.
I heard that Inside Llewyn Davis movie is really good too. That Ballad of Buster Scruggs thing is on Netflix, and that's pretty cool.
Bridge of Spies is supposed to be pretty good. I've never seen it. Unbroken was really good, but
Hey, that's the movie that we were talking about the other day.
Yeah, that you got said, mixed up with Unbreakable.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it was directed by Angelina Jolie. I was right.
Yeah, and I think they write separately for like a lot of movies, so they have like a bunch of writing credits that they'll do separately, and then when they write together is like their real discography, which is probably like the first like 8 or 9 movies on there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they write for a lot of movies, but like No Country for Old Men, Burn After Reading, this movie, like those are all like Coen Brothers movies, you know, and you can tell when you watch them, because I think Joel Coen is the one that directs them all, and then him and his brother Ethan write all of them.
they're definitely a big name. Like even before I knew when I, you know, I just, you hear that name a lot.
Yeah.
Mixed in with a lot of other, like the Coen brothers. You know, mm-hmm.
You know, what's really funny is that they edit their own movies, but in their credits, they put Roderick James because they don't want to like keep having their names pop up in the credits because they think they look like assholes. And then really? so this like pseudonym that they made up has been nominated for 2 Oscars.
That's sick.
Oh, so they're not a real person.
That's no. so sick.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And so they're like, I don't know what we're going to do if we win. Because they got nominated for editing for this movie, but like no one knew that it wasn't a real person.
I didn't know that the editing category had an Oscar.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much everything has an Oscar. Should.
Everything for a movie has an Oscar.
I think
it's one of the most important parts.
Definitely like underrated. I don't think people
because
that enough.
Because you hear about first edits and how directors hate it, and then they go back to the cutting room floor with the same material that they had before and they make a new edit, and it's like,
yeah.
That's this movie, you know?
Like, I mean, dude.
That becomes the movie.
Those editors are like just as important as the director of that movie. It's
more
like,
so.
Yeah, if they don't do it right, then the movie's screwed.
Because
you've seen movies where like the pacing is just horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what ruins movies, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it makes me think, I mean, what was that process like? Or think about how much more time consuming and tedious it was before you could just hop on Adobe or something
and do it.
Cut the film,
Jeez,
tape it together,
dude.
Tape it together.
Horrible. Yeah, I mean, think about how much more important their job is now with all the stuff you can do in like Adobe, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, it's not just like splicing together a movie anymore. Like you, at the same time as you're editing the movie, you can also like correct colors that need to be corrected, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure like the DP does a lot of that, but you know.
They could do that with film and stuff. It's just a lot more of a tedious project.
Yeah, I just think that was like more on someone else back in the day. But I don't know.
They had people for every part of the movie, whereas now it's like, you know, like
they still do, but
it's the computer.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, nowadays it's like if you've got a good enough camera, you can light it decently and then in post make it look amazing.
Yeah.
Wesley's like, you watch behind the scenes footages for movies and shows and you're like, I don't remember it looking that bad. And then you watch, you're like, oh, okay. They added this and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
All the plates.
Yeah, that would be, I mean, and I didn't know till not that long ago, the whole idea of like a shooting ratio, like how, you know, they'll go into it with maybe 5 hours worth of footage and stuff and cut it down to however long.
Yep. Oh yeah. It's crazy.
And they have different takes for everything to figure out what they want.
Yeah, and that's why there's like director's cuts of movies because they have to cut out so much.
Yeah.
Like Tarantino has a director's cut of Hateful Eight on Netflix and it's like 4.5 hours long.
Literally twice as long as the actual movie.
Yeah. They like put it into two episodes.
Which, honestly, that's the only Tarantino movie that I'm like is kind of boring.
Oh, I love that movie. I love that movie too.
I love that movie. That's one of my more favorite ones from him.
I guess maybe it's just because I fall asleep every time I try to watch it, but...
Yeah, I mean, I get it.
I think I've only seen it once, but I really liked it the first time. I feel like it wouldn't be as good the second time.
Have you heard about the behind the scenes with Kurt Russell in that movie?
No.
Dude, I might have heard some.
Dude, so you know how she's playing the guitar and singing?
Yeah.
And
that was a real Martin,
It was a real, like, 1800s, like, guitar that the... It was worth, like, it was one of the most expensive guitars in the world, and he thought it was just a prop, so he smashed it. And apparently they told him afterwards that it was, like an actual, like, relic. Like,
yeah, they got it from a museum.
Yeah, and they told him afterwards, and apparently he cried about it.
Jeez,
which, dude, honestly,
I would too.
That is not his fault. Why?
No.
You don't need to get something from a museum for a prop.
Yeah,
I know.
Like, just paint it. I don't know. That's stupid.
Crazy.
The fact that they use like an actual guitar from that period.
Mm-hmm. And he's like supposed to get pissed off at her while she's playing.
Well, the improv was that he broke it. He improv that part.
He was supposed to get pissed off, but he wasn't supposed to break it. Yeah, but you know.
That's one of my favorite scenes of that movie because he says, music time's over, grabs the guitar and just smashes it. It's sick.
That's crazy though. Damn.
Yeah. That's like my favorite part of that whole movie.
Oh, it's awesome. He's talked about... Sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say he's talked about turning that movie into like a playwright, which would honestly be really fun to go see.
Oh, that'd
like
be cool.
Have like the state, the settings and the stage change and have different people come mm-hmm. in and out and stuff.
Well, I guess the setting wouldn't have to change that much actually.
Yeah. It's all yeah, the
yeah. Yeah. You're actually yeah. right. Yeah.
Be a good setting for a play.
And he said that movie would work best out of all of his to do something like that.
Yeah. Cause it just takes place in that house.
Reservoir yeah. Dogs might work too.
Really?
Cause that's another, that was like his first thing. So it was kind of low budget. So they only used like a few locations.
Yeah.
I know y'all have all heard, he's apparently only going to do 10 movies or whatever. And what was yeah. Hollywood his eighth movie, right?
Ninth.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's got one more.
Well, he was saying, I'd watched an interview and he was talking about after that, he had talked about wanting to get into doing the theater and writing playwrights and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, he was saying how he was working on Inglourious Basterds, like in the Pulp Fiction era of his discography. And when he was done with the Inglourious Basterds script, he was very close to just sending it off and giving it to somebody. Cause he just talked about like, he felt like the writing on that was so good. Like that's yeah. all it needed. He could have just written that script and it would have been just as good. And I mean, that movie,
it's a great movie.
Crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would have been cool to see him do that. And then somebody else direct it and see how it came out.
The thing,
yeah, that would be cool.
The thing I love about Quentin Tarantino is he likes to take like all these like real historical like events and just make it how he thought it should have been.
Yeah.
Like yeah, that one in particular. Yeah.
Like Inglourious Basterds, like he kills Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
In the
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah, he kills the people that actually committed a few murders or whatever.
Yeah. Margot Robbie's just chilling.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out one of the other ones. Pulp Fiction, that's nothing really.
Fiction?
Yeah, it's pretty much fiction.
I think those are like the main two where he does it. Oh, Django, you know.
Django, yeah. Put some spin on that. What all are his movies? Like,
you know, he did... There's some movie that he wrote but didn't direct, and
Death something.
It's that or something else, but it's something I really want to watch. Not Death Proof, True Romance. I think that's what it is.
Oh,
I'd heard some stuff about that. I wanted to check that out.
Is Natural Born Killers a movie that he wrote and directed?
I don't think so. I think he might have written or produced it or something. Yeah, he wrote it.
Oh, you wrote it. Okay. I've heard that movie is pretty good.
Mm. I've never seen it.
That's just either. An anomaly to be able to write that good and that much and then to have control of the camera too is crazy to me.
Dang. He has like a lot of credits.
So does the Fargo TV show have anything to do with the movie or like what's up with that? Because I didn't even know that was a TV show till today pretty much.
I think it might be like the same idea. But I don't know if it's I don't think it has anything to actually do with the movie.
Is that the one that Ben Affleck's in?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, because there's also
Ben Affleck's in Argo. That's a different movie.
Argo. Dude, it's
about something completely different.
It's those three things. I was like, which one is Ben Affleck in?
Argo is the one where it's based on a true story.
Okay, yeah, and the Wikipedia for Fargo, it said based on Fargo by Joel and Ethan Coen. So
Argo was starred and directed by Ben Affleck, but it's based on this, in 1979, these U.S. Embassy people were taken hostage in Iran, and they sent in this CIA agent to get them out, and basically, like, they're undercover... the way that they got them out was they gave them different identities so that the Iranian government mm-hmm. couldn't like identify them. And their whole reason for being there was that they were shooting a movie called Argo. And it was supposed to be like basically Star Wars, like another, since Star Wars was popular at the time, it was going to be like a rip off of that or whatever. And they were like trying to look for locations to shoot, but that's how they got them out.
Yo, what was that movie? It wasn't Zero Dark 30, but there was a movie that came out a few years ago that was pretty much about like a U.S. embassy and defending it or something. I don't know.
Oh, 13 Hours.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, no, that's another true story. That's about the Benghazi attacks. And that was the whole thing.
Oh, that was a John. Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
that was the whole thing. Yeah, that's the one that John Krasinski got jacked for. But that whole movie was about basically the U.S. government was given a heads up, which most people were. It's said that.
Well, didn't that have to do with some of like the whole Hillary Clinton drama? Yeah.
It was said that Hillary Clinton was the one that got a heads up that the embassy was going to be attacked, and she did nothing about it. So a bunch of U.S. embassy employees died because basically
I thought it was something like that.
The U.S. Army group that was there was told not to go over for some reason. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's what that movie. It's a great movie.
Directed by Michael fucking Bay. Serious-ass story.
Honestly, this movie, like, this is probably one of the only Michael Bay movies that doesn't feel like a Michael Bay movie.
Yeah, I just hate movies like that. They're so boring to me.
Really, like, I like
action, like action war movies. Like, it has to be really good for me to like it.
It's a really good movie.
I always like to look.
Them scores under you beg to differ, dude. I see a 51 like poking out.
No, dude, those are terrible. Those scores do not reflect the movie. It's a great movie.
Is it great because the story is cool or because it's actually a cool movie?
Mainly it's the story, like, but the movie itself is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a good movie. That's it. Mm-hmm. Whenever I see John Krasinski, it makes me think it's so interesting when there's a popular TV show and to see who out of the cast of that TV show became irrelevant and who's just still trying to clamor on to anything. Well, like, y'all see that Rain Wilson was in that Meg movie or whatever?
Yeah,
oh, stupid. Yeah.
I was like, dude.
So was Jason Statham.
Chill.
But A Quiet Place, which John Krasinski wrote, directed,
dude, I didn't like that.
You didn't like that?
I thought it was boring.
I liked it, dude. I thought it was a great movie.
It was it was not enough dialogue.
That was the whole point, though.
I'm playing, I know.
Yeah, John Krasinski is just, like, too dorky to me to be an action hero.
Well, it's like, you spend all those years watching The Office, and then it's like, okay, I gotta unwind my brain.
Yeah, I know. I know he's ripped, but I'm like, it still looks like him.
Well, because it is him.
Yeah, but he's no like Bruce Willis that looks like he'll kick your ass, you know?
Bruce Willis never was really...
Bruce Willis could be like skinny and not strong at all, and I would still be more scared of him than I would John Krasinski.
You're crazy.
Bruce Willis is the guy who works out but eats fast food and smokes cigarettes.
Exactly. The dude who will actually kick your ass in like a bar fight.
No, Bruce Willis is the dude that thinks he works out but can't lift for shit.
Bruce Willis is the guy who doesn't need to work out because he's fucking Bruce Willis.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though I've never seen Die Hard.
Me either.
It's a great movie. First one is. Second one is too.
We're all hyping up Bruce Willis, and Caleb's the only one who's seen any of his movies. Yeah.
Chill, bro. He's in Moonrise Kingdom. That was
he's in Pulp Fiction,
that was
dude.
That was his peak.
Yeah.
No, Pulp Fiction was his. Well, no, Die Hard for sure. Die Hard. The first one you should go watch. It's sick.
I think Supreme made like a jacket from the one that... Oh, no. It's the Pulp Fiction jacket that he wears. They like made a bomber jacket to like reference that. That's just cool. Supreme things, dude.
Yeah.
Rep.
Damn, Fargo has a 96 on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's the TV show.
Oh, okay.
Oh, what does the movie have?
So the TV show is 3 seasons and...
It said it was based on the movie.
Yeah, did they just stretch the story out? Like, was the TV show just stretching the movie out?
I don't think it's the same story. It definitely sounds different. Are you reading the?
Chris Rock's in it, apparently.
Why is there a season 4 trailer when the last season was in 2017?
They might have gotten like repicked up or something.
Oh. Huh.
But I think it's loosely based on the characters.
A lot more story extensions and different, I guess, different mm-hmm. characters and stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
See, the movie has a 94.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know if I'd go that high, but I really liked it. But we can talk about that. But
yeah. I feel like I don't know. My rating process, it's like it's getting weird because I feel like I'm giving everything. Like I always like if I'm not gonna watch it again, I jump to 3.5, then I'm like, okay, I've already given like 20 movies on Letterboxd 3.5. And
yeah. But this is a movie that I think I want to watch again really soon because I liked it when I watched it, but I think I would like it a lot more the second time.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Because I think I would understand like where they're coming from, you know?
Do you see this? Why is the movie Fargo called Fargo? The wood chipper used in the movie is now on display at the Fargo-Moorhead Visitor Center. The movie is called Fargo because I thought it was a better title than Brainerd.
Brainerd. Yeah, where the whole movie takes place. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, the movie's called Fargo, but the only scene in Fargo is that first scene at that club.
Yeah.
Or the bar or whatever. The King of Clubs.
Is that what it was called?
Yeah, that's what the bar was called in the beginning.
Well, it's that motel name that they went to, the something ox.
The Blue Ox or something. Like that. Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. I feel like this is probably like the least thoughtful discussion that's ever gone on about this movie.
Well, like the thing is, like it's not like anything. I don't know. It's a great movie, but there's no like, I mean, I already said there's like the one or two lingering questions that I had.
See,
but the rest is pretty like cutthroat and like clear, you know.
I think there were a lot of underlying references to capitalism. Like when they're eating breakfast, okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go on with it. Just keep.
I mean,
it was something.
Well, they were clearly referencing, you know. Oh.
Why? Speaking of them eating. Speaking of them eating, I don't feel bad interrupting the whole BS of the capitalism thing. But right. The thing when he gets back from the bar, are they eating at like they meet him at 8:30, right? So what time are they eating dinner at?
I guess fucking
like 9:30 or 10. No, dude.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they eat after.
Back, yeah, when he gets back to his family.
That might have been the next day because he drove all the way to Fargo, they don't live in Fargo. They live in Minnesota.
I'm sure this was definitely a detail that they didn't think anybody would look into.
Well, I am.
Think, wait, okay.
Yeah, I think so they probably ate the next day.
Where's Fargo?
I think it was the next day. North Dakota. And they live in like Minneapolis, I'm pretty sure.
Oh.
Where is North Dakota? I know it's north, but
it's like right next to Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Is it Midwest? Would it be considered?
Yeah.
Midwest?
It's like the top of the Midwest.
Okay.
And then under it is South Dakota.
So where do those accents come from? Like, what's the history behind that?
Well, it's kind of close to a Canadian accent, and they're like bordering Canada.
Okay, I was thinking it might have been something to do with Canada.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're like, you can, like, there's the Canada line is on, like, in Minnesota, so you can, like, walk over. I don't know if you can literally walk over, but it's right there.
Okay.
If you're just around a lot of moose, I think you just talk like that.
I wish we had moose here.
Yeah. Is the plural for moose, moose? Or do you say mooses?
I think it's moose.
Meese.
You'd say like, oh, look at all those moose.
Ew, that just sounds stupid though.
Right.
But it's the same thing as deer. So, like, look at all those deer.
Look at all those deer eyes.
What?
Look at all those deers.
Deers. Oh, deers. Yeah. Look at all those deers. Got a moose. Oh, yeah.
So, William Macy, Jerry's character.
Mm-hmm.
Another sick actor. Makes me want to watch Shameless because everybody said that's a really good show. I know he's a big part in that.
Dude, my grandfather, when we were like sophomores in high school, my parents like went somewhere for like a week, so he came and stayed at our house just to kind of in case something happened.
Mm-hmm.
And he stayed up a whole night watching all of Shameless. Like literally, it was like just a random Wednesday night, and mom and dad put him on the show, and it was on like Netflix or something. Mm-hmm. Stayed up literally all night. Like I went to bed and got up for school and he was still watching it like wide Damn. Awake.
That's crazy.
So I guess that was a good movie.
TV show.
FX, right?
Yeah.
He was in Mr. Holland's Opus.
Really?
Yeah.
I need to watch that again. It's been a while.
I do too. That was a really good movie.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's definitely not as good now.
Think so?
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know.
I feel like it wouldn't pass a 3.
Really? I feel like it's one of those movies that like you get when it comes out and it just stays on under your TV for forever and you can always pull it out and just watch it sort of thing. You don't have to like pay that much attention to it sort of. It's just like...
Yeah, but I don't think that would be like a 5 out of 5 movie. Like one that you can just pull out whenever and not think about.
Right now, I'd give it a 4. I haven't watched it in a long time, but from what I remember...
Yeah, I just haven't seen it since I was like in 6th grade, so maybe 8th, but...
Maybe 7th.
Yeah. All right, so what are we rating this movie? You first, Caleb.
I would give it probably like... So I would definitely watch it again.
Mm-hmm.
So we're definitely over a 3 for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably give it like a somewhere around a 4.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking.
Maybe like a
4.2-ish.
Yeah, I was gonna go 4. If we're doing 0.2s, then I'll hit it with a 4.35.
Why the 3.5?
It's just, you know, it's better than a 4.2, and the 3.5 just sits right with me today. Okay. What do you think, Bailey?
I'll give it a 4.
Nice.
So I'd probably watch it again. I'd consider it. So
yeah,
and I really like the cinematography on it.
Mm-hmm. I think the more I watch this movie, the more I'll like it. That's like that's what I'm thinking is going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the runtime's not super long.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't.
Yeah, this is the first time I've seen like a quick thriller like this. You know, it's like an hour and a half. It's like a comedy time. You know.
Yeah,
it's cool.
It was honestly nice because I mean, when I see the timestamp like 2.5 hours, 3 hours, I'm like, damn! I hope every bit of this is good because I don't want to get an hour and a half in and it just suck.
I know.
Yo, how about old Kanye West going literally insane?
Crazy.
What's happening, man?
Wait.
I mean, he is not taking medication that he definitely should be on.
Well, one really interesting thing, Heisnabiety tweeted, for fans, the rapper's recent public outburst put us in a confusing position, having to toe the line between sympathy, criticism, and ridicule, and just talking about his bipolar disorder, and it's like, now it's getting to the point where like news outlets and like, you know, everything, mm-hmm. it's like, yeah, this is kind of more sad than it is amusing at this point. Like this guy really needs to figure something out.
Yeah. He said like Harriet Tubman didn't do anything for black people.
Yeah. He said that she just gave him to like other oppressive whites or something.
Yeah, dude. He's going insane. Did you see like Kim's statement about it?
I don't know anything about it. What was
she was saying basically like they've been trying to like get him to go to like a hospital for months, maybe like years now, you know, but like if you're not a minor, like there's really nothing you can do if they don't want to do it. So like, which I think they're that rich, I feel like they could find a way, but like, yeah, they're basically, they have no like pool for him to go unless he like chooses to go, and they can't make him take medication, you know. So like she was just like, yeah, like can we like just please have sympathy for him because he's literally going insane right now. And it's like, it's funny to an extent, and then I'm like, fuck, dude, this guy is really having some problem.
Well, I had heard something else talking about how there was like affair allegations with like Kim Kardashian and Malik with
and Meek Mill.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw that. But it's like, I'm going to take everything he says right now with a grain of salt because he like just spewed that at some like rally or something, like his presidential rally.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like a real thing that, you know, people can deal with. And it's just with him, it's like, because I feel like there's months where you don't hear anything about him. And then it's like next thing you know, he's holding a fucking like presidential announcement in like a venue crying about stuff. I'm like, dude, this is kind of scary. I don't know.
And then, you know, an album's coming out tomorrow, supposedly.
Supposedly. Yeah. What was it, like 20 tracks?
Yeah, we'll see. But yeah, it's crazy, man. Like, I don't know what he's got going on, but.
Dude, that was his first press conference.
Really?
For the U.S.
I know. Oh, he's not on ballots for like 90% of the country. So
yeah, I know.
No, and that's the sad thing. It was like, you can tell it was some just random like outburst thing that's ridiculous. Exactly.
And Elon Musk is just like going along with it for some reason.
For some reason, yeah.
I don't know, man. It's like, you know, he gets the attention because he's so famous. There's people who deal with that stuff, just normal day people, and it's like, holy shit,
I know.
Only imagine feeling that, you know, sporadic about things all the time. I'm sure it's a
It looks horrible, dude.
Yeah.
What was that movie about the vice president for George Bush?
Vice. Dick Cheney.
What if that's what's going on with Elon Musk and Kanye?
Well,
if you vote Kanye, you're basically voting Elon Musk.
Well, yeah, well, it's not gonna happen. So
I know.
It's crazy though, dude. Like, I feel bad for Kim to have to like deal with that, especially like having like, because they have like three kids now, don't they?
Something like that.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
My girlfriend was going over it with me the other day. I don't remember why we got on a discussion of the Kardashians, and she went through and named all their children.
Yeah, I get in those conversations sometimes. I just like, I don't know. I hate the Kardashians, dude. But
really, I think the show is very amusing.
It is, but it's like, I just hate like everything they do. Okay. And how they just like will just like fake fight with each other on national TV and everyone like thinks it's real. Like that Courtney and Kim fight. I'm like, dude.
So there's Northwest, Chicago West, Psalm West, and Saint West.
Yeah, those are sick names, dude. Every single one of those is awesome.
Those are very like rich names. It's like, look.
Yeah. Chicago West.
That's you guys awesome. Will never have to work a day in your life. So that's why you have these names.
Like, what's Jay-Z and Beyonce's kid's name?
I think it's like Blue Ivy.
Yeah, that's like sick.
That. Yeah, it's out there for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Blue Ivy, Rumi Carter, and Sir Carter.
So you have a kid named Sir Carter?
It's Blue Ivy Carter, Rumi Carter, I think is what, R-U-M-I, and then S-I-R, so Sir Carter.
So like his first name is Sir.
Yeah, S-I-R.
That's awesome.
You got to address him as Sir anytime.
He's in like kindergarten. They're like, yes, sir?
Yeah, for real.
Gets respect wherever he goes.
Mm-hmm.
So
what?
Sorry, I'm trying to go in so I can make a good cut. Hello?
Hey.
So.
All right, welcome to the segment. We're going to be talking about, you know, just world news, what's going on in your life, my life, and everything in between. So,
what?
There was a really big thunderstorm today.
I like how he just sprung that on us.
Like we're fucking CNN, and then his big world news story is that there was a big thunderstorm today. Prepared and everything. Like, I'm going to make a big long cut here.
So one thing I really liked about Fargo Yo, can you imagine if we didn't cut anything and just like after all this, we were like, yeah, well, that one scene in Fargo and just went back into
the Halo. What about the Halo, the E3's?
Dude, I would love to talk about the Halo release.
All right, let's talk about it.
Do you think we could show it on here?
Yeah. We got no one listening. Yeah.
I don't care. But I want to watch it with you guys.
Yeah, just like mute it.
343 Industries, just, I think it was today, gameplay reveal of Halo Infinite. I mean, it looked great.
Yeah, it looked
really
cool.
The graphics could have looked better.
Well, you know, that's what a lot of people were saying. But you got to keep in mind,
it's not done.
It's a demo, you know, first reveal. And, you know, also it's like, they could look better, but it's like, how, I thought they looked fine. And for a Halo game, like, I don't really... Personally, I don't want like lens flares and shit. I'd rather them, you know, like I thought the Halo 5 graphics were great.
I'm fine with without the lens flare, but I think like it would have been cool if they had done a little more work on this demo.
I actually really, really liked the graphics.
Really?
I thought it was everything it needed to be.
I thought it was like the perfect Halo graphics. Like any other game, I'd be disappointed, but I thought it was really cool for this.
I don't know. I feel like the Halo, like all. Every one of their, like, one of these, like, demo things has always been just so polished and, like, makes it look like they filmed it, you know?
Yeah. Well, and this one
definitely doesn't.
Well, the thing about that is that the demo gameplay, you know, it wasn't, like, a lot of the 343 past trailers, it's all been this live action thing, like how Halo 4 Unto Dawn looked, which is cool. But you got to think the last two times they did that, the games were terrible. So now it's like, oh, we get to see like, oh, this game is going to look even better than this. And this is actually what the gameplay is going to be.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like a lot of those E3 trailers are usually just like just made for that trailer. But this is just the game.
That's true. That's true. All right.
I feel like every single Halo has opened with this exact scene.
Yeah to start it...
I turned it down a little bit.
Okay. I think it's a good possibility this will be like the saving grace for this series.
Yeah.
Are you guys able to hear it?
No.
I mean, it's fine. We don't really.
Will you just like skip past the cutscene until it gets to like the gameplay if we can't hear it?
Yeah.
So what it looked like is
that looks awesome.
It does. And what it looked like is that, and I've read about it. I think they're going to try to take more of an open world approach on the single player gameplay. So, you know, you got to imagine the vast expansions, like the maps can have. I'd seen a clip where they pull up a world map and it's like, you know, this starting mission, the whole idea is that you're taking out these outposts and the guy, he's in this huge open world with all these enemies that he can go and fight, but he can pull up this world map and make a waypoint.
Dude,
like,
okay,
I'm going to go here first. Like, it's not as linear.
That's
it's
so
like
you sick.
Can, yeah. Yeah.
Halo Skyrim, dude.
It's basically. Skyrim with guns.
Yeah. Skyrim with Chief.
You guys care about skip this little part?
Yeah, you got it.
It's honestly, I'm getting like 3 frames.
Yeah, me too. Like,
I can put some clips up. In post. But so one really exciting thing is the solo, like the single player. It's gonna. It looks like it's gonna be completely fresh from any other Halo title. But 343 has came out and said they're gonna keep the multiplayer. They're trying to get it like Halo 3 was. So one of the biggest parts about that is big opportunity for this game to get back on a big pro circuit. Because, you know, games on pro circuit is really what keeps a game alive for however long. You know what I mean? Like Dota 2 came out in, 2013? The next international, the prize pool is at like $29 million.
Yeah,
because the competitive scene is so well put together, and that's what I'm hoping this game will have. And I think they finally realized the importance of having that component to through the multiplayer. Yeah.
The one thing I was upset by, and I hope, I don't know if they're doing that with the multiplayer. I think it can be really cool. And I'm fine with this in single player. Like, he pulled out like a grappling hook or something at some point.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm hoping they just don't have like special, like specialist type things like from the newest Call of Duties in the multiplayer. I think if they keep it in just the single player, I'm totally fine with it. I think it could add a lot to a single player, if it's, especially if it's going open world, but it's just, if it's in the multiplayer, I am going to be a little upset.
I know what you mean. It comes down to what's going to work for a Halo game. Like Halo 3, you had like the bubble shields, the power drains, but Bungie, you know, they made that shit work. Like it made the gameplay better. And it's like, if you can make the grappling hook work, sure. I was not happy seeing it, but maybe it'd be a little.
Really, like, it really adds to the, like, the game, the actual gameplay, you know, and it adds to, like, your gunmanship, you know, when, like, you can barely move and you walk so slow. And that's why it was so cool when you couldn't sprint in the original ones, you know, because it, like, really made you
what gun try. Is that?
I think it's just LMG. One.
That's like a never before seen.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Dude, the shotgun was sick.
Yeah. I hope that's not like going to be the main. Like, I don't, it looked like it was an auto shotgun.
Yeah.
The thing is, I think this, for the third time around, they get it. Oh, they got to fix the hexagon regeneration shit too. That's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they understand what they need to do to make it work now. Like, I know they're going to keep sprint in it, but you know, Halo 5 had sprint, but also you could thrust everywhere. Like if we could just keep it with sprint, I think we can make it work.
Yeah. You know? And I think nowadays, I don't think you can make a game without sprinting.
Yeah.
I think it's just every game, it's like too far down the path.
Yeah.
So I'm fine with that. As long as it's not like hyper thrusting around the map.
Yeah.
But dude, yeah, this shotgun he just picked up is sick.
I mean, it looks like a blast. I have not been this excited for a Halo title since 4, and 4 was a bust. So,
and dude, this is on Xbox, like the new Xbox. Imagine how it's going to look on PC, dude.
Yeah.
It's
that was another great thing about it is it's out launch. It's going to be for Xbox and Windows. So, you know, there's not going to be any wait time for PC players. You're going to be able to get it right away. You can it's already on Steam, actually.
Yeah, was it you that? Yeah, that was you that sent us that.
And that, I mean, together,
and I think they realize that all of their like a lot of their diehard audience when we were younger is now playing on PC. Like a lot of those kids that play PC and play like CS:GO and stuff are the kids that really love Halo. You know?
Yeah.
So I think it's perfect for them to move it to PC.
Yeah, and for like Halo 2, I mean, that was, 2004 or right around there? I think it was 04. And I mean, that was my first experience in any sort of competitive atmosphere for like a shooter game. Mm-hmm. And exactly what you said, I think a lot of kids that came up in that those are the people who are killing it in CS:GO right now and stuff, you know. But it's, you know, can you imagine if you get dropped in this campaign and you can do this main mission, but there's other side things you could do, this open world thing?
Yeah, that'd be sick.
And there should be like in an open world setting, there can be so much customization, you know?
Yeah.
I'm so excited for that.
Do you think that it's going to be one of those games where there is a linear story, but you can just kind of like go around it? Or do you think that it's going to be like one of those games where what you choose to do kind of affects the story?
I definitely think it's going to be this linear thing. But what I think they're going to do is have the linear story that is like the backbone to any Halo campaign. But I think if they add this open world component, it'll be like, okay, you've got this linear story, but hey, there's this outpost that's overrunning the UNSC. If you got the time, you know, go help them out. Maybe it'll have a component like that. And by doing that, like you just gained a new armor piece that you can use in multiplayer type shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think they understand also, they have, y'all noticed they completely reverted Master Chief's art style back to how Bungie had it. Yeah. Like, he looks much more similar to that. I think they've realized that their art style was not working. I mean, the armor looked terrible, dude. And if they nail all that, man, it'll be it'll be great. I really do think it will.
I mean, dude, if they can, because I have faith in 343 to make a good multiplayer. Like, because I think Halo 5 was almost there. You know?
I thought it was fun.
Yeah, but I think it's just it was that close to being like where we wanted it to be, you know. So I think I have the faith in them to do that. They just need to make sure like the customization is cool, because the customization hasn't been cool since Reach.
Exactly, you're right.
And that's like so important to keeping that game like lasting, you know.
Yeah, it is.
And like giving like a reason to rank up and like actually gain experience, because I haven't felt that in a Halo in so long.
Yeah, I haven't felt it since Reach. There's a big problem with new Halo games, even the ports over to the Master Chief Collection. The way they work their UI, they make it a chore to view someone else's acclimates. Like, they make it a chore for me to go to someone's account and see, oh, this is their rank, this is their KD, oh, like they got a fucking overkill last game. Like, it should not, it should be as simple as Reach was. You join the lobby, you hit one over to the right, and there's the drop down of everybody. Oh, this is their rank, this is something that they did last game, you know what I mean? It needs to have that, because that creates so much more of a community experience versus just getting into this lobby where it feels like, you know, these are real, it's like they're real players, but it doesn't feel like it, because I don't know anything about them. Like, I have to struggle to even look at my own rank.
Yeah,
it should be right there, you know, especially on the competitive side. It's
it's frustrating.
It's it needs to have that. I mean, like Bungie pretty much, I would say they were pioneers in competitive ranking, in the sense of like when Halo 2 came out, it was a 1 through 50 scale and it was just numbers. So it's like, oh, this guy's 45. He's got a really good win-loss rate. You know, it's like simple and it's right there.
I know.
So, but I think they get it now. In that gameplay trailer, I mean, it got me excited, man.
Yeah, me too.
I like how the, what were the people from Halo 4? The
Prometheans.
Prometheans, yeah. I like how they're not in it.
I know.
Fuck that shit.
And that was one thing. You noticed that you had like the classic looking elites back. You had the brutes, you had the grunts, and I noticed that there were brutes throwing grunts in the air with grenades in their hands.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is sick. Like,
I mean, it's the whole thing of like ranking their army. It's like, but in with the Prometheans, like you could never tell what was what.
They don't
they don't function any different. They're all the same.
Yeah, and it's like in Halo, it's like you've played it for so long, you know what these little fuckers are when they come running at you, you know? It's like you want to see them. And you're like, you know you're at like the beginning of the game, you know?
And the, hearing the
like when you see those little things.
Hearing the little, what are the brutes, the little guys? Hearing
the grunts.
The grunts. You're just hearing them yell at you while they're trying
to... Yeah, man. It's like, I think this time around, they are keeping the Bungie blueprint, but like, just making it fresh, as to like the two Halos before this, it was just let's change everything, and it just it didn't work, man. I didn't think it worked.
Yeah,
but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I am too. The story seems interesting too, so
I think it'll be good. I'm interested to see what these next generation consoles are going to be able to do.
Yeah, I feel like. I feel like it's going to be cool, but I mean, it's like at this point, just get a PC. It's like all they're trying to do with these consoles is make them up to the point of a PC, you know?
Yeah. They are just sort of like mini computers, but you can't, it's, but what is the PlayStation come out when it comes out pretty soon, doesn't it?
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, these next, this like whole generation of these consoles and the new computer parts, I think it's going to be, I think the games are going to get unreal. I mean, even some of the PS4 games I've seen, this game like called Ghost of Tsunami came out recently.
That game looks sick.
It looked really fun. And did you notice how amazing it looked? Like, and that's not even the new gen yet. So it's, you know,
that game looked really cool. I've been seeing a lot about that today.
That's one of those games that made me wish I would have gotten a PS4 instead of an Xbox. With,
it was like a samurai game or something.
Oh, never mind. I don't know.
It was like third person.
Yeah, I just started seeing about it today, but it was cool.
I mean, I think it just the graphic fidelity and everything of video games, I think is gonna really spike with these next, you know, half a decade or whatever. It's gonna get fucking crazy, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited. The new Xbox just looks like a computer.
Really, I don't know.
If like it's like a rectangle. Right. It's like a rectangle goes straight down. Like it looks like a
what's it called?
Xbox One Series X or something.
Series X.
Yeah, it just looks like a.
Looks like a box. Oh yeah, no, yeah, I know what you mean.
It looks like a computer tower, you know.
Yeah, it does. Well, that's cool.
Caleb's trying to type this in.
I know. I don't want to see the reveal.
Yeah, look at that thing.
That's a pretty sleek design.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, the PS5 looks awesome.
Dude, it looks like a tower from
Lord of the Rings.
No, from what's that Keanu Reeves movie?
It's literally just a rectangle. I mean, it looks like
what's the Keanu Reeves movie that's really popular? That came out in the
Matrix.
It looks like a building from like the Matrix.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Xbox. No. I was like, yeah, it's just a fucking 3D rectangle.
Looks like any tower you've ever seen. But the PS5 looks cool.
I mean, it looks like the PS4. It looks like they just made it like the evolution.
It looks
of
like a
car.
Fucking router.
Yeah,
it looks like a router. That's true.
But with the lights on, it's like purple on the inside. I don't know.
They both just look weird. But that's how every new thing looks.
Yeah.
I don't know why they did what they did to the Xbox controller, dude. They didn't need to change it.
God, it looks even worse.
It looks fatter. It looks like the original Xbox controller. Like, Caleb, pull up a picture of the original Xbox controller.
Dude, I've been playing the original Xbox recently. It's sick.
It looks more uncomfortable than that Nintendo controller that's the 3-spiked.
Nah, dude, that 3-spike controller was the worst.
It's definitely not worse than that, but it's
yes,
it was pretty
is.
Bad.
Look
yes,
at that.
Is. This was it.
Oh.
This was it.
Okay, disgusting. No, that wasn't... It, go back, though.
That is it. That's the one that came with the console when you bought the console.
That was not... Go back really quick. That was the one. Or the one, the first one on the left.
That's the large controller.
Yeah, like, that's what I had.
Holy shit.
Oh, no, dude, this is what I had.
Ugly.
No, I had the large.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, I was like four. My hands are so small.
Yeah, we had these, but this is basically the Xbox One controller.
I know.
It's basically the same thing.
When Live was like just becoming Xbox Live, just becoming a thing, you would go to EB Games then actually, and you would buy this Xbox Live like package, and it would come with a card and a controller that looked like that shit.
I've owned the original Xbox since it came out, and I've never seen this controller in my life.
What is the D-pad doing? It looks like someone slammed it on the ground a million times.
Yeah,
dude, it's like. They got the like the controller part. Like, what are those things called? Like the actual like analog sticks.
Joysticks.
Yeah, like those are perfect on the 360 controller. And every other controller, they like hurt my fingers. Like the Xbox One, like they dig into my thumbs.
You use some control freaks, bro.
Yeah, dude.
Dude, who uses a whole keyboard as a controller?
That's sick.
Nintendo holding that like some bullshit like that.
That's for the GameCube. Why do they need a keyboard for the GameCube?
I don't know.
That cost $195.
So you can type in your hacks, dude.
I guess so.
Gosh.
That's crazy, dude. I've had the original Xbox since this came out, and I've never seen the large controller. I didn't know that.
It's dirty.
Yeah,
I've literally played on this controller my whole life, and it literally is the same thing as the Xbox One.
Dude, the large one looks like a machine that you like get into on the top.
Yeah.
It looks like mechanical legs that you can like walk around in.
Ew.
That's crazy. Look at this one.
That's sick.
How do you even hold that?
I don't know. I feel like you don't. It's acrylic.
I think it's left-handed. Definitely not.
Yeah. It's like a sculpture, which makes it even worse.
Yeah, true.
Dude, that controller looks like a baby with like a full diaper.
It was just like, whose idea was that?
I don't know.
I mean, this new controller basically looks like the Xbox One, just more that modern
kind of look. Yeah, it's just uglier.
Yeah, it's the same thing with cars, though. The more modern they get, the uglier they look.
Yeah, some of them, but it's like, look at the PS5 controller. Like, that controller looks cool. I don't know if it's practical, but it looks.
No, I think that controller looks dumb compared to the Xbox One.
What?
I don't think. Yeah, I think the PS4 controller looked better than the PS5.
Yeah,
but I think the Xbox 360 controller was the best like gaming controller.
Like, look at the 360,
the two side by side.
Yeah, just look how like the PS5 one looks modern. The fucking Xbox one looks like a slab of wood that they just painted black and put buttons on. Like, it's just ugly.
Will you look up the 360 controllers? Because I thought those were the best fitting to like a hand.
Definitely. And they like. Yeah, they don't look great, but they're the perfect controller, so it really doesn't matter. You didn't
have to reach for anything. It was all right there.
Damn, I miss those, dude.
I remember when the 360 came out, dude.
Mm-hmm. What is that? It says controller skin, sexy girl.
That's hilarious.
Dude, me and my friends, we would buy the white ones, and we would like spray paint what we wanted on them.
Nice.
I still have my one that I spray painted the green monster logo for some reason.
That's sick, dude.
So do y'all think you're going to win the car from David Dobrik?
Dude, I'm not reposting that just because of the way he smiles.
I thought
like
about it.
He sticks his tongue out and he's like.
I thought about it when Bailey sent it to us and I was like, do I really want to repost this? And I was like, well, there's a small chance I might want a Tesla, so might as well.
The thing is, when I see him post it, I know two people are actually going to get it.
So yeah.
I'm like, yeah, well, that'd be sick. I can just sell it.
Just keep it and sell your car now.
I know.
And drive a Tesla around.
Have the fucking money. Yeah. I would love a Tesla. I just don't need a Tesla right now.
Mm-hmm. Save a lot of money on gas. Well, I guess I feel like it would be really impractical to drive one of those around here. Like, I feel like they don't have charging stations very frequently.
In Greensboro, probably not.
Or like, and especially if you were like making a drive somewhere, like if we were driving to the beach or something, I doubt they have one like on the route.
Yeah, you probably have to bring it somehow.
Yeah. Bring like a thing to charge your entire vehicle.
Take up the whole back seat.
You just have like a cell phone tower in your trunk.
You just have to park at the nearest like power generator. Walk to your place.
Beach in 5 days, dude. Are you serious?
Let's go. I'm so hyped.
Me too.
It's gonna be fun.
Mm-hmm.
So are we all getting our own food? Like, how's the food thing working?
I don't know. We can just figure it out.
All right. Well, I'm thinking I may go to Harris Teeter before I go. What time's checking?
Yeah, I mean, get what you want because you're probably.
I'm the pickiest.
4. I'm still looking for my 2:30.
Yeah, I got you.
Still?
Dang. I'm going to catch crabs and shit there and cook them.
Dude, have you seen the Seinfeld episode where they go to the beach and Kramer goes walking on the beach and he finds a. Have you seen the Seinfeld episode where they go to the beach? They go to someone's beach house? Huh?
What? Sorry, you were lagging for me. I didn't know if it was me.
Oh, my bad. Well, I guess it's not my bad, but... have you seen the Seinfeld episode where they go to the beach and Kramer goes walking on the beach by himself and he finds a crab trap and so he takes it and cooks them all crab?
Oh, yeah.
It's like illegal for them to take it.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be us.
I should set a crab trap up for the night.
Let's do it.
I
don't like seafood, but...
A few cages out, dude.
Is that a few cages?
Yeah. I'm bringing my dog cage. Just put it in the ocean.
Yo, so that one scene of Fargo, I keep going back to
it. Oh, my gosh.
All right, dude. It might be time to wrap this shit up.
Nah, but so one thing I really liked about it,